Hey guys, Trevor here with the E-Commerce Paradise Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Today's episode is all about how to manage returns and damages and things like that with high-ticket dropshipping. If you're a first-time listening or you're a long-time listener, get my free niches list for high-ticket dropshipping at ecommerceparadise.com/99niches. And also, Shopify is now offering a 90-day free trial. So if you've been thinking about starting a Shopify store, now's the time to start. For 90 days, you get your store for free to build up until you're ready to launch. So now's the time. If you want to go get that today, you can go to ecommerceparadise.com/Shopify. If you have any questions, let me know. Trevor@ecommerceparadise.com. So how do you deal with returns and damages and stuff like that with high ticket dropshipping? It can be kind of scary to think about, because if you're selling products that are like over $1,000, you know, then it could be quite expensive, right? And, you know, let's face it, it is expensive. And that's why I do things a certain way. The way I do them is I match my supplier's return policy. So whatever that supplier's return policy happens to be, I put the same thing on my site, except in the case of restocking fees. When a supplier charges a restocking fee, which is like their way of covering their costs that they have to deal with when accepting the product back, re-warehousing it, you know, and then trying to sell it again. Usually it's like 10, 15%, whatever. I usually add a little bit to that because I have my own restocking fees to deal with. Costs of, you know, time spent sending it back. And here's the thing. I don't want to waste my time losing money, okay? So what I usually do on a return policy is, you know, make it fair. Don't price gouge, but, you know, add a little bit to it to cover for your time too, because you're providing a service to that customer that had an issue with the product, or that, you know, just wants to get their money back instead of getting a replacement part to fix it, whatever, you know, because there's some people that just give up on it. Like, they just give up. They're like, all right, I'm done with this. Just send it back. So for those people, I provide them a service of taking it back, and they'll get partial refund, right? So they don't have to deal with the product anymore. They get some of their money back. They can go and do something else with it. All right, it's better than not getting anything and just having a product sitting around and they have no idea how to sell it and get their money back for it. I provide that service for them. So what that means is that if the supplier charges me 10 or 15%, then I charge the customer 15 or 20%. Usually like 5% over what the supplier charges me, because when we're working with a $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 product, 5% is quite a bit of money. You know, it's like $50. So, you know, if I'm going to charge $50, $100, $150 over what the supplier is going to charge me, I'm making a little bit of margin on the return as well. And that's the whole idea. So whatever your supplier is going to charge you to return that product, you charge just a little bit more. And you'll still be making profit on the return transaction. So you made profit on the beginning one, and then your goal is to make profit again on the, you know, return transaction, because you really are providing another service to the customer, in a sense. All right, again, don't be predatory about it. It's not right, but, you know, charge a fair amount for your time that you spend. If it takes you like an hour to deal with it, you know, charge $100 an hour. I think that's pretty fair. All right, so that's what I usually do. Now, if a supplier does not accept returns, this can be kind of a sketchy process, but you have to make it very clear on your website that you don't accept returns for those products either, okay? So on your return policy, you know, for these particular suppliers, all sales are final, no returns are accepted. And then provide like some sort of a solution to them. If you decide, or if you, you know, if you decide you don't want the product after it, if you have buyer's remorse, or if the product is damaged to the point where you don't want to like try to fix it with whatever replacement parts the supplier sends out, this is how you would have to go about doing it. Because we do not accept returns, here's what we can do for you. You can provide the service to the customer of selling it for them on your eBay account. I've done that before, okay? I've done it for myself, I've done it for customers. So you can provide that as a service, a paid service, be like, well, for this much money, we'll go ahead and list it, we'll sell it, and then you will fulfill it. Since your customer becomes your dropshipping supplier. Is that sketchy to do? Yeah, of course it has risks. You know, what if the end customer gets it, they don't like it? On eBay, you have to put no, you know, no returns, all sales are final, so on and so forth, okay? So that's what we do there. And usually it's a pretty easy, straightforward process dealing with returns when you have that kind of a system in place. Now, when it comes to customer service, this is where it can get tricky. Customers are all different types of people. Some are older, some are younger, some are more mature, some are a lot less mature. Some are have a short fuse, some have a long fuse. So really, like, it's all over the place when it comes to different types of customers. And the way that they're going to respond to you and stuff like that, okay? So just when it comes to customer service, you have to have a salesman standpoint on it, okay? Try to mirror your customer. If you're, you know, as long as the customer's not freaking out at you, don't freak out back at them, but mirror them. If they're having, like, if they're trying to send you really long emails, you know, give them a phone call back and talk to them about it. It's probably because they're frustrated, okay? If they're trying to call you, don't just email them. That's really rude. Call them back. If they're sending you short emails and being really, you know, patient, I would also follow up with a short email and just a quick phone call. You know, and when you're calling customers, always leave a short voicemail. Just say, hey, I tried to reach you at this day, and keep notes on when you reached them and when you left voicemail, so that if the customer tries to come back and say, hey, you didn't even call me at all, then you can easily say, well, according to my notes, I reached out to you this, and then left you a voicemail and no return, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, just understand you're always going to have problem customers, hopefully a small percentage of them. Just have a system for dealing with them. Have canned responses available. You know, you can put canned responses into your Gmail account. Makes it really easy to just, you know, shoot out an email really quick, just maybe fill in the blanks on their particular name and product and issue. And that way it simplifies the process. And, you know, if you're doing your own customer service, of course, you're going to have to make your own phone calls, so just get used to that. But what I do is I hire virtual assistants to do my customer service for me, and they're really good at it, and I train them. So what they do is they follow up with phone calls, and, you know, they just talk to the people. And usually I hire women because women are very nice, and, you know, they calm men down usually. So if you're dealing with, like, an out-of-control guy that's like, I want a refund, mom, my money back, a woman will be able to calm that man down quite easily, especially a woman with a nice voice, okay? It's just common sense. It's how it works, okay? So usually that's great. And, you know, obviously you want to make sure that your VA is trained on the product line and is intelligent enough to deal with complicated issues. And if ever is need, ever like anything is needed with your attention, your particular expertise, they just want to speak to a manager or something like that, you can always step in, right? I usually have some sort of an issue where, like, if someone is just so pissed that they just want their money back, they don't care. They don't want to pay for return shipping. They don't want to pay for anything else. They're just immature people, because you will deal with these people sometimes. Immature people do exist, and they will make your life a nightmare. What you need to do at that point is just let it go, okay? Just refund them. The worst possible scenario, someone's going to go online to a bunch of different websites and post a lot of negative content about you. YouTube, blogs, forums, whatever. You don't want that, okay? What I usually do is I tell my VAs, if it costs under $100, just, you know, just do it. Okay. If it costs over $100, we got to think about it. Maybe we can come up with, like, a solution to share the cost with the customer. But whatever it takes, try to make them happy enough so that they're not going to go around and spread a bunch of bad words about you. Okay. And that's about it. So do the right thing. Be a good business owner. You know, think of Amazon like Jesus, if e-commerce was a religion, and do what Amazon would do. You know, they always take care of their customers, right? That's, like, how they've gotten to where they are now, is by having a customer base that trusts them so much that no matter what, they're going to keep buying from them over and over again, you know? And just do what Amazon would do. Like, what would Amazon do? It's just always a question you should ask yourself in any particular situation. A lot of customers are going to say, if I bought this on Amazon, they would have just taken it back as a refund, blah, 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 you know? And so you can say, okay, well, I understand that, but, you know, we have additional costs because these products are quite expensive. We're willing to work with you on this. Here's what we can do, that kind of thing. And usually customers will be okay. One quick tip, though, is that when people are pissed off, their emotional state is very charged at the moment. They have a lot of energy built up, ready to release, okay? Give them, like, some time. They need, like, 24 hours is enough for someone to calm down. So if someone's, like, getting livid on a phone call or whatever, just try to calm them down and end the conversation. Let them know you'll figure something out, and don't talk to them again until the next day. By the next day, they should be calmed down, and they might even be a little bit embarrassed about the way they acted. Usually that's how it is, and they're just trying to look for a solution at that point, okay? People just, you know, they go through, like, stages of emotional freakouts, okay? Like, all those stages, everybody goes through that kind of stuff in any situation, and some people that have, you know, less money and they're spending, like, the last bit of their money, they're going to go through worse emotional freakouts than the people that do, or if they needed it right away and you're screwing them over somehow, you know, because your supplier, you know, shipped it the wrong address or it arrived damaged, you know, that kind of stuff happens. So just do your best to take care of it. Apply your supplier's policies to your business. And if you guys want more information on how to do high ticket dropshipping, I have an awesome resource. Obviously, the rest of the podcast episodes, the huge catalog of YouTube videos, go check out the channel, ecommerceparadise.com/YouTube. And there's a ton of great free resources on my blog and my website, ecommerceparadise.com/blog, right? So go check that out. And if you want a step-by-step course and mentorship, group coaching, private coaching, all that is available in my high ticket dropshipping masterclass, go to ecommerceparadise.com/masterclass. And if you want me to do the work for you, build you a business, even support you throughout the scaling of that business to help you grow it as well, go check out my turnkey offer at ecommerceparadise.com/turnkey. And definitely refer to my resources page for all the great software and tools that I use to build my business. You can get the same ones at ecommerceparadise.com/resources. If you want private mentorship or coaching, you can go check my offer out at ecommerceparadise.com/coaching. And I look forward to helping you become successful with high ticket dropshipping, becoming location independent, and living the life of your dreams. I'll see you in the next episode.